Steven Strasburg is awesome. Carlos Martinez was great last night. Mike Trout has homered twice in his last three games. Jack Peterson's playing more. We got a lot to tell you about here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
A lot. Those are some revelations even to me.
What?
I didn't realize Trout was on a home run tear.
Two out of three games. I don't know if it's a tear, but it's good. It's encouraging.
It's an improvement over what we'd seen most of the second half.
Mm-hmm. What else did you...
I didn't realize Jack Peterson was playing more. I did realize, though, one of the other guys we talked about yesterday in terms of lefty-righty, Josh Reddick, who is hot.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing every day again after sitting against lefties for a while there, so maybe he's back to being mixed league worthy.
Well, why wouldn't we know this stuff? Because we are weird, and before the show started, we weren't talking about Mike Trout. We weren't talking about Carlos Martinez. We were talking about the best Rick Moranis roles in his movie history.
I think Dark Helmet is number one by a pretty substantial margin. He carried that movie.
I think the only thing we came up with that was even close was Ghostbusters.
Lewis Tully.
So funny in that movie.
He is.
So funny in that movie.
It's a bit role, but...
Yeah, I think it has to be Dark Helmet.
Yeah.
Chris is here.
Hey! I was trying to see how long I could go into the podcast. I think we made it, 90 seconds without saying anything.
So. All right, well, you've got... You'll bring the baseball in.
I do it for the listener's sake.
Chris suggested Little Giants. Has anybody seen Little Shop of Horrors?
That's a good one.
No. I've never seen it.
It's a good one.
He's in it, though, right?
Yeah. He's the dude.
I'm not really... versed enough in Rick Moranis's whole career to really be an authority on this matter, but he was great in Spaceballs, I think.
He was incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. There's no doubting that.
picture of him in Spaceballs, the helmet is huge.
I haven't seen Rick Moranis in a movie in, 19 years.
Yeah.
Big Bully.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried about Rick Moranis.
No,
oh, Big Bully.
He kind of dropped out of the industry for family reasons.
Is he safe? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's good.
Can we get somebody to check
up
on him?
I act like I know him, but...
My Blue Heaven.
I've never
really,
seen that
really movie. Good movie and a very good performance from him. All right. Anyway, let's talk baseball. Let's play Name That Split. Name That Split. There's no way you're going to get it. I'll give you some hints. You might get it. This is a guy who has had 50 at-bats against lefties.
So someone who hasn't played a lot against lefties.
160 batting average, 236 on base, 300 slugging, with 5 walks and 24 strikeouts in 50 at-bats against lefties. Now, you say he hasn't had that many at-bats, but he pretty much plays every day. That many at-bats against lefties, but he pretty much plays every day. So that means he hasn't had that many at-bats overall.
Yeah.
Terrible numbers. 160 with a 36 OPS. No, it is not Miguel Sano.
Off to
but
a slow start
good
against
thinking.
Lefties.
Think of that time frame. That time frame.
Okay. Time frame. Oh, Kyle Schwarber.
Stumped
the Schwarbs.
Yeah.
That's right. Now look, he's catcher eligible. I know, but if you're in a daily league, you sitting him against lefties?
Probably not. Even as a catcher, I think the. I mean, I guess
what backup catcher are you going to carry to mix in? That's what I would consider. I think this is most relevant to DFS play.
Yeah, maybe.
Never start him.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Miguel Sano's hitting 300 against lefties,
but probably not a lot of power. What's his slugging?
543.
Really?
I think he got off to a slow start against lefties.
Around,
and
huh?
It was really weird because he hit them really well in the minors.
I remember when he faced Mark Burley and he hadn't hit a home run against lefties yet, and he still didn't after that game, but we were like, oh, he's going to kill Mark Burley, but his splits weren't so good. All right, so name that split. We got one. Scott got it. 1-0, Scott.
Yeah.
All right, next one. 5-4. This is a home split. This guy at home. 5-4, 297 ERA.
Julio Teheran.
No.
Okay.
That was what I was thinking.
64 strikeouts and 78 and two-thirds, 1.16 whip.
R.A. Dickey.
No. NL East, but not Julio Teheran.
And did he start last night?
Yes.
Tom Kohler!
We're tied at one.
He's been pretty good at home.
That was a road start last night, right? At the Mets. Is he just completely irrelevant, Tom Kohler, in fantasy, or do you consider starting him at home?
If he has a start at home, you can consider it. If he has two starts at home, I think he's definitely starting caliber fantasy pitcher. But beyond that, he's so meh otherwise.
Way too many walks for the little he does well, too.
Yeah, not a great whip. All right, last one. This is a guy who's probably definitely owned, probably started in almost all leagues. Post All-Star break, 223.
Todd Frazier.
No. 9 home runs, 27 RBI.
9 home runs isn't bad.
No, but a 383 slugging percentage is, so he must not be doing much else. No. He is in the AL West.
Albert Pujols?
Bingo.
Yep.
And especially cold right now, Albert Pujols. 223 since the All-Star break.
Chris got two of the three. He's the winner.
Still a must-start guy, Albert Pujols?
I would, well, maybe I could see like a scenario in a head-to-head points league or another league where you don't have that quarter infield spot to fill. And
it's not that hard to find first baseman.
In that format. But at the same time, I mean, it wouldn't just be the average. Like, would you start Kendrys Morales over him? That's still a guy who you probably didn't find on waivers, but at least there's a chance in a shallower league.
Well, what about the couple guys that have been really hot over the last couple of months? CJ Cron or Mark Trumbo?
I wouldn't.
Do you trust them to continue? Okay.
I wouldn't.
What about Brandon Belt?
I could see it. If it was home, if he was on the road and facing a bunch of righties, I could see it. But otherwise, no.
All right. Well, Pujols letting people down right now. The big news, Matt Holliday's back, but he might not have a big role for a little while.
Like 4 days ago, they said he was going to play every day.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't yesterday.
We were worried about Stephen Piscotty. We were worried about Jason Hayward moving over to center, and now he's just going to not play.
I don't know what's going to happen. So what would you think? Would Piscotty just go play first?
They have Brandon Moss.
That was the question. That's why we were worried on Monday. Al and I were talking about this.
I heard about a half hour of that podcast. I must have missed it.
And then you had to shut it off.
Out.
It was
you know,
so bad.
I didn't have the longest commute. So.
Oh, okay.
You know. That's why people should listen on 1.5 times speed.
So we
ludicrous
can all sound
speed.
A little
exactly. Light speed's too slow.
So we can all sound a little chipmunky. We were worried about Piscotty losing time. We were worried about whether Matt Adams or Randall Grichuk would be able to get into the lineup. They've got too many guys now, all of a sudden. Stop developing your players.
Yeah,
so
I know,
well,
right? Ned Yost seems concerned about Greg Holland, whose velocity is down. He visited him on the mound last night. It was two on, nobody out. I think that's when he visited him, and then he got out of the inning, got the save. But the velocity appears to be an issue right now for Holland.
It was down to 90 miles an hour yesterday.
His
velocity's been down all year, like 94. He was around 96 last season, but he's been down over the last like couple of weeks. He's been down in the 92 to 91 range, and last night it was 89-90. I don't think he got higher than 91 last night, which is really concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, if you're a Greg Holland owner, you probably either own Wade Davis or somebody else does.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what we can...
Well, maybe you sit Greg Holland.
Actionable advice we can give.
Maybe you pick up Arodis Vizcaino or Tom Wilhelmsen or something and start them over Greg Holland at this point. This is not just...
There's no chance I'm starting Holland.
Right. Yeah. He's got a 1-4 whip.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he gets you the saves. Well, if you need the saves, and the whip and the ERA aren't going to hurt you that much, I guess he's still going to get the opportunities.
His velocity was 95.4 in August, 91 in September so far.
Honestly, though, I don't know that I'd start Vizcaino over him if I needed saves, because like he's still going to get so many more chances.
Well, he hadn't been getting chances because he hadn't been used, his usage. That's what I mean. Like, we say, okay, don't start Greg Holland. I'm not sure how many people were anyway because of how limited his usage has been in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's probably droppable in some formats, right? He's kind of just like a waiver wire...
Well, anybody
closer.
Who you don't think you're going to use is droppable at this point in the season.
You're not worried about him beating you?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I was thinking more like points leagues, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he could absolutely be worth dropping.
He's still,
I think,
78% started.
I think I'd rather just own Wade Davis than Greg Holland at this point. I mean, even if I'm not, because
They should really give him a rest.
Yeah, you figure there's, what, 16 games left, so best case scenario, Greg Holland's going to give you, what, 4 saves for the rest of the season? I'd rather just have the 1 or 2 saves that Wade Davis gets, even if he doesn't get the role, because that's pretty much how it's been lately, and just the much better pitching.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, he hasn't allowed a run in September.
it's
Greg Holland. But one strikeout in 11 batters faced is really
wow.
bad.
All right, Zdrubal Cabrera left last night's game with an injury. Nick Franklin replaced him, and x-rays were negative on Cabrera. When I wrote that sentence, x-rays were negative on Cabrera, it almost sounds like the x-rays, just they don't really like Zdrubal Cabrera very much.
Yeah, like, we don't buy this high BABIP thing that Zdrubal's doing.
Joe Kelly left last night's start with shoulder tightness, so he might not pitch again this year. We'll see. Edwin Encarnacion did not play at Atlanta, but he should be back soon. Not a great lineup last night by the Blue Jays. It was Revere, Donaldson, Bautista, and then you got, you know, the Justin Smoke, Cliff Pennington, Ryan Goins, Russell Martin, Kevin Pillar.
Turns out when Troy Tulowitzki and Edwin Encarnacion get hurt, the lineup looks a lot worse.
Yeah, and no DH. So we'll talk about Tehran in a little bit, but keep that in mind. Jock Peterson has been playing a lot lately. Started against a lefty yesterday. I don't think he's going to lead off against lefties, but he's in the lineup. Starling Marte returned. Billy Hamilton day-to-day with a sore shoulder. Ryan Howard dealing with a knee injury, could miss some games. Brandon Crawford might be back on Friday. Hunter Pence hopes to play in the final homestand of the season, which is in a couple weeks.
Well, that makes him droppable, though. I mean, you're not...
Yep. And Jesse Chavez is out for the season, and Drew Hutchison is in the bullpen for the Blue Jays. Marcus Stroman stays in the rotation. I don't know how much did you guys talk about him a lot on Monday's show after a half hour?
The Stroman?
I don't think we talked too much about Stroman, a little bit.
Make any Stroman arguments?
The final line wasn't the final line wasn't that great on him, but I think he was 4 scoreless innings, and then he gave up a 3-run homer. But
yeah.
Encouraging,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, velocity was good. I think he needs to be owned, probably across the board. I mean, you'll get another. He'll make a start later this week, and obviously, and if that's a good one, then I think I would be motivated to start him next week.
Fireworks of the day. I assume you guys, you saw this, Alex Rios. At Cleveland, homers into left field. Bam! The fireworks go off.
Felt so bad for that guy because he just looked. There's a picture of him where he's just got his head in his hands. Yeah. He looks so embarrassed and sad. Poor guy.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Stat of the day from the Associated Press. The Rockies used 30 players last night. That ties a major league record. The A's originally had that record on September 19th, 1972, in a 15-inning game. 30 players. Gotta love September baseball. Tuesday's standouts. Would you guys like to nominate anyone?
It's your turn to nominate a player.
You are on the clock.
Actually, I would like to nominate somebody, and that somebody is Jason Hayward, who we never talk about because he's widely owned and widely started.
I saw his stats over like last week, and I was going to save him for tomorrow in case he had one more big game. And then we were going to talk about him. But yes, go on.
Well, it's not even just the last week. What caught my attention is, you know, obviously a big game yesterday, 3 hits, 2 doubles. Brought his season batting average up to .296, which is not what we're used to seeing, even from the good Hayward. And you go back 79 games, about mid-June is where he turned it on. He is batting .327 with a .901 OPS. 7 home runs and 281 at-bats, which isn't, you know, like slugger territory, but 16 steals and 33 walks to 38 strikeouts. Good rates, obviously, relative to each other and just independently. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about him going to the Cardinals and, you know, tweaking his stance and working with the different coaching staff and what kind of impact they could have on maybe capturing something the Braves couldn't. And I feel like that's happened. The power numbers are still kind of discouraging, but I feel better about Hayward going into next year than I have about him in the last few years. A lot of it's going to depend on where he signs, but say, Adam, your Yankees pursue him. He winds up in a great park for left-handed hitters like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, he's 26 years old now. I don't think we're completely beyond the point where we could say Jason Hayward could become a fantasy stud still.
Okay. Yeah, good season for him. Chris, anyone for you?
We're going to talk about him, but we might as well get to it now. Steven Strasburg has been absolutely ridiculous lately.
He's the man.
And
he might have won me fantasy or semifinal last night. I'm so happy about him. Good
since
for you,
August
Steve.
8th, when he came back from the DL, 2.58 ERA, 62 strikeouts in 45 and a third innings over seven starts. He's been ridiculous. 27 strikeouts in his last two. His
How about
velocity
the whip?
Was
The whip is like 0.6 something. What is it?
He hasn't allowed more than five hits. He's allowed more than five hits in two of seven starts, three or fewer in four of seven.
His whip is basically like 0.7 in that stretch.
He's turns out one bad month doesn't ruin a pitcher. His ERA is under four for the season now.
Mm-hmm. He's a tough one next year. Could win the Cy Young or he could miss half the season. He's a tough one.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think there are a lot of people who just won't touch him, and it might end up making him a little bit of a value on draft day.
That's Steven Strasburg. Is he a top five pitcher next year?
I would say no, just because there's so many who are in that discussion. But
and you just can't the uncertainty. Like he might be as good as Corey Kluber mm-hmm. or Chris Sale, but there's no way you can view him in the same light as them just because he's never done it, first of all. We've seen Chris Sale have the monster season. We've seen Corey Kluber have the monster season. We've never actually seen that one just unbelievable, Steven Strasburg season. We've never seen him have a season as good as the one Jacob deGrom's having right now.
No.
But we know he can do it. But he has so many... He hasn't been far off, but he's been in that 3 ERA range.
I mean, just last year, he led the NL in strikeouts. So.
He was amazing, but it was like a 3.16 ERA or 3.00.
Yeah, 3.14. Yeah.
So he's been very good, but he's never reached that truly like top 3 or 4 pitcher status.
Yeah.
Whereas other guys have, and they don't have the injury concerns that he does.
I bet a lot of people had a tough decision. Starter Sid Carlos Martinez. I hope they started him. Eight innings.
I told multiple people
sit him?
Not to start him.
And I had him in a lineup, and it was a daily league, and I started him, and I was like crossing my fingers. I was so pleasantly surprised. 103 pitches, eight innings, four hits, one run, two walks, and nine strikeouts at Milwaukee. Martinez is at the Cubs this weekend, so would you start him? He just got kind of beat up by the Cubs.
Yeah, my stance doesn't really change based on this start. He had a really bumpy eight-start stretch that began right when he exceeded his previous career high in innings. So, you know, the occasional, the odd dominant start thrown in there, I don't think really changes my stance. And as a SPARP, sure, because he's one of the better ones you'll find. But as just a straight-up starting pitcher, I still feel like he's pretty shaky.
Now, you know what's really interesting is he's exceeded his career high in innings, and yet his velocity has gone up every single month this season. It was it was high to begin with, 95.1 in April. 97.25 in each of the previous 3 months, 98.2 in September, which is either a good sign, or if you're a negative type, it could be a sign of, you know, somewhat bad things to come. I don't subscribe to that.
It could be a sign of overcompensating because, you know, now that you're bringing it up, I remember this story early in the year because he kind of got a rough start too, and they thought he was overthrowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Carlos Martinez we're talking about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Cardinals thought he was overthrowing.
But even that, it was only, you know, 94.3 in his first start, 95.5 miles per hour in a second. So
right.
He's steadily gained velocity, which I would take as a good sign. I think it's a sign that he's definitely not tiring out like we thought he would.
Well, we don't. I mean, it's not just velocity that shows up. That,
yeah.
Yes, actually, I'm glad you said that because Jacob deGrom, who actually might have his next start skipped, I saw an interesting quote from Terry Collins last week, I think. He said, you know, the fatigue might be in the fact that he's been elevating his pitches a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that is something that I'm sure we could
but
go on
Carlos
some
Martinez,
nerdy site and find it out.
Well, but with Carlos Martinez, the way you would expect that to manifest itself would be, you know, fatigue.
How can you sit here and tell me he's not dealing with some type of fatigue right now?
Well,
he has been pitching so poorly.
I don't know. But that's also, he's had stretches where he's pitched poorly in June. In his career.
In his career, but he's, I don't know.
He hasn't had much of a career.
Right, exactly.
It's hard to base it on.
You're going
to
start him this weekend?
Well, I'm
daily
on
league. Daily league.
Against the Cubs, probably not.
All right. We'll see how he does on Saturday or Sunday, and then we'll talk about him in week 24?
Five.
2 weeks after this?
2 weeks left. 25.
Ooh.
Yeah, 25, 26.
Okay. And Mike Trout has homered twice in his last three games, as mentioned. 10 steals this season for Trout. 6 of them came in April. He's stolen 4 bases since May 1st.
He's not my number one pick next year.
He is less of a base-stealing threat than Paul Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm. Is Paul Goldschmidt your number one, too? Your number one as well, Chris?
It's going to be really hard to pass up on a 24-year-old Bryce Harper.
It could definitely be a 5-outfielder versus 3-outfielder
league
decision. All right, Mike Trout, come out of it. Hey, FanDuel, is that much Mike Trout is today? You kidding me? $3,900?
Oh, yeah.
Add.
Yeah, play Mike Trout.
You're in my lineup. I don't care who they're facing, but I'll find out. They're facing Hisashi Iwakuma. Oh!
Oh.
BVP. Let me tell you something. I have Iwakuma in a daily league. Actually, I picked him up off waivers in a daily league to start him today because if you look at his numbers against the Angels, including Mike Trout, he has been amazing against this team. They have like a 604 OPS or something crazy like that against Iwakuma. So anyway.
So now you're not starting Trout.
I don't know. 3,900 seems too good. There are still going to be relievers that pitch.
Maybe not.
That'd be good for him.
He could go 8 shutout innings. He does that. He either does that or goes. He gives up 8 runs.
Yeah. So, anyway, there are better pitchers to choose on FanDuel tonight. And FanDuel is giving away big money every single day. The leader in 1 week fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy everything. If you want 1 day or 1 week fantasy, you go to FanDuel.com. Use our offer code CBSPOD. Start now. I mean, look, the baseball season's almost over, but that doesn't really matter in FanDuel. Every day is the same. Every day is as important as the last and independent of every other day. So get on FanDuel, start playing now, use that code CBSPOD. They're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. And we've got some resources on the website and on Daily Fantasy Live to help you out. Go to fantasynews.cbsports.com for plenty of help. And go to sportsline.com, give you the optimal lineup every day that our computer projections have picked for FanDuel. All right. One up, three down. One up number one is David Wright, who went 1-for-3 with a double. How about him? An extra base hit, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what to make of David Wright.
That's 3-2 games.
Yeah.
3-2 games after 3 in his first 15 coming off the DL, which is small sample sizes any way you look at it, but based on the injury and the fact that his rehab assignment, I don't think he had any extra base hits. We were a little concerned by the lack of pop he was showing, and now there is some, so maybe less reason to be concerned, though. I mean, I think he's sitting 1 every 3-4 games still. So
yeah, still not a must-start third baseman or even corner infielder at this point.
Well, he's 80% owned, David Wright, so just wanted to point it out. Maybe he's getting a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Three down. Wright's the only up today. Three down. Carlos Santana. Just a bad year, and 14 straight games for Carlos Santana without an extra base hit or a multi-hit game. For the season, he's batting .233, and in September he's batting .233, but also slugging .233. He's the number 10 first baseman, third baseman in points leagues because of the walks, but number 19 in Roto.
What is he at first base, though? Because this is a really bad time for him to have a bad season.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the first season where he next year will be the first season where he enters without eligibility at a premium position. This year, obviously, it was third base. Before that, he was always a catcher. Now he's going to be just first base, and it's going to be hard to justify him as more than the corner infielder, and that's obviously Roto, so that takes away the strength of the walks, and I just don't think he's going to be a very attractive pick next year.
If you compare this year to last year with Santana, I think it's really only the home runs. He actually has the same amount of doubles, pretty much the same batting average, 233 to 231. But last year, Santana hit 27 home runs. That made him the number 5 third baseman in points, number 8 in Roto. So it's the home runs one, and it's the position stronger overall, I'd have to say, too.
And there may be something to that, that just, okay, this is who he is, which still, you know, at first base isn't as valuable as it was at third or catcher. But there was a lot more enthusiasm for him going into this year because the way he came about that 230-ish batting average was by hitting like 280 over the last 4 months. He got off to a terrible start. And obviously that didn't happen this year.
All right, am I starting Addison Russell over Carlos Santana in my utility spot?
What's next the format?
Rotisserie.
Over, you're starting who over who?
Addison Russell or Ian Desmond over Carlos Santana.
No, I want it.
Okay.
I want it.
He is the 15th best first baseman this year in points, 24th in Roto. Johnny Peralta, it's been a while since he's been good. 79 games, 237, 293 on base, 330 slugging with 6 home runs and 26 RBI in 79 games for Peralta. He's 93% owned. At this point, with the shortstop that we talk about every day, the shortstops, the Jerkos and Escobars. Yeah. I mean, can we cut loose Johnny Peralta?
I think he's probably too owned at 93%, yeah.
Definitely cool. Too started.
Yeah.
At 70, what, 72?
72, yeah.
All right. Odubel Herrero. What do you guys think about him? 49% owned. He is hitting .320 in September, but no steals in 2 attempts and only 4 runs. So it's kind of limited his value a bit.
Yeah, limited value sounds like a good term to attach to him because so much, like, he doesn't have enough power or speed to really survive without a high batting average, and can you really rely on him to hit .296 when he has strikes out 100 times more than he walks? Some hitters do that. Adam right. Jones has done that consistently, but
Adam Jones is also a 30 homer guy.
Exactly.
That can make up quite a few points in BABIP.
Yeah, I don't see Herrera ever really be more than a fill-in in standard mixed leagues.
All right, rotation time. So DeGrom was bad, and he might get skipped in his next turn. Second terrible start in his last 5 starts. Are there concerns here about DeGrom?
I think so, because he threw, I think, 177 innings last year.
Yeah, you know, was that, I might have screwed that up, because I said that on the last podcast, but I don't, was that just his major league total?
No, he had like 140 something in the majors.
Then, yeah, in the 170s.
And it's been a pattern of just lesser production recently, and not every start. Like, his one before this time out was a gem. I think 9 strikeouts in 7 innings, so.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just like, depending on how you want to slice it. If you look at just the last 5 starts, he's got the 2 starts with 6 earned runs allowed. But it's not like something happened between August 18th and August 24th.
Just general, like, lack of dominance, though. Not so much
but I'm saying
starts good, this starts bad.
The There's start before that
more hits, fewer
was
strikeouts.
1 earned run allowed in 7 2/3. The one before that was a shutout over 7 innings with 10 strikeouts.
Something has happened. The innings totals are piling up.
Right, but
Chris obviously
that,
does not subscribe to the.
I definitely do, but we're talking about, you know, that was 30 innings ago.
Yeah.
That was at 150 innings that something happened on August 24th. I think it's just I get when we get to this point with younger pitchers who are getting to an innings total that they've never hit that we have to be concerned for anybody. But it just seems like it's just 5 starts, you know, and it's kind of an arbitrary endpoint. You know, we look at the last 5 starts, but the 5 before that were amazing.
And 2 of these 5 starts, most recent, were awesome. And 1 was you know, quality start. Not a great one, but quality start.
Yeah.
So two are terrible.
You're not benching DeGrom, I think, if we make this actionable again.
Yeah.
It's not like you're doing anything about it. Right. You're just kind of lowering your expectations a little, I think.
Jeff Samardzija. Boy.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about Jeff Samardzija. 11 hits and 10 runs in 3 innings.
Caught him.
5.27 ERA.
Caught him.
I just don't understand how he's so awful. Mm-hmm. Like, even... It's weird, just the timing of it, because last year it seemed like he took this gigantic step forward, and...
Yeah. Yeah. But did he?
I think so. I mean, the strikeouts were... The walks were much improved, that's for sure.
And they've remained... his strikeout rate has fallen off a cliff, and that's a big concern. I think it might be, and I've speculated with Johnny Cueto in Kansas City that I think it might just be a situation where he doesn't know how the team's not using him right. They're calling the catchers are calling the wrong pitches, or there's bad location. They're using the wrong pitch sequencing, and this is the kind of thing that would be really hard to prove, and it's just kind of a hypothesis. But
yeah,
I tend to lean that way.
I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And
I read something on a White Sox blog on SB Nation earlier in the season about that, and that was their speculation with him. Just poor location, poor pitch sequencing, and so...
Do you have Brooks Baseball pulled up?
I can pull it up right now.
It's his homepage.
I think he's thrown a cutter a lot more this year, and that's like the White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper. That's his thing. He's all about the cutter. He made Esteban Loaiza with it. It can work for some pitchers, but when it doesn't work so well, it leads to a crap load of home runs. And has Samardzija thrown a cutter a lot more this year? Or
it's up to 21%. Last season, it was 12.6. So yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're getting somewhere.
And the cutter is a pitch that it's kind of designed to induce contact. You're not looking for swings and misses with a cutter. You're looking for weak contact. So the fact that his swing and misses are down, his strikeouts are down, that would make sense also. It's just if he's not throwing a good cutter, you're inducing that contact, but it's not going to be weak.
Yeah. Hey, he's a free agent, so get him out of there.
I think he's definitely I've been really low on him all season, but I think he's definitely a guy who you want to target next year on draft day as a bounce-back candidate. Because even if I don't think he's an ace or a number one or number two fantasy starter, he's going to go. I think he can fall low enough that if you get him as your number four or five fantasy starter, there's number two, three upside there.
Mm-hmm. All right, from Jeff Samardzija to Julio Teheran, just tell me, do you feel good about Teheran this weekend at home against Philadelphia?
I do.
Should be a good start for him.
Yeah.
Derek Holland and Colin McHugh have had two bad starts in a row. This time they faced each other. The Rangers. Wow, good for them. That was a fun atmosphere last night. But Holland
were you
and
there? Were you there, Adam?
I was watching it.
Yeah.
Okay. Holland and McHugh, concerns?
Not like long term, but you have to be concerned. You know, your level of trust fluctuates so much this time of year, and I think rightfully so. I'd be more likely to stick with McHugh than Holland, I think.
Absolutely.
Okay. Fringy starting pitchers, Brett Anderson. Two starts next week, Arizona and at Colorado.
Nope.
Sit him.
Two bad matchups.
Josh Tomlin, his second complete game in his last three starts.
Tomlin, you're killing me.
At Minnesota and at Kansas City.
I'll start him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not worried about the Royals hitting a ton of home runs off of him. That's not really their thing.
It's a big park, okay.
The Twins target plays for pitchers, right? And they don't have a ton of home run threats either. I mean, Miguel Sano's a pretty good one. But I don't feel terrible about a two-start Josh Tomlin.
You know, I think you're probably right. It's still playing with fire.
Yes.
But, and it's not going to end well. I don't know if there's enough time this season for it to not end well this season, but
if he becomes a popular sleeper pick
because of how he finishes this season, it's going to be.
The car's going to go crashing off the cliff at some point, The question is whether it's like the end of Thelma and Louise. It's just whether the editor is going to cut it before the car goes off the cliff, you know?
Oh, man. That's a
timely,
that's
timely,
a tough call, not
timely
to...
reference.
Wow, we don't know Rick Moranis roles, but we know Thelma and Louise.
Oh, we named like Thelma and Louise is a good movie. I'm not going to be bullied here.
All right. I've never seen it.
Neither
have
I.
You've got a great Susan Sarandon.
We need a Thelma and Louise watch party.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need.
What's her name?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know either. Louise.
She was in every movie in the late 80s, early 90s. Earth Girls Are Easy.
Don't know that one either.
I don't know, Chris. This is a family podcast.
I think Earth Girls take offense to that. You haven't seen Earth Girls Are Easy? That's a great movie. You guys, the two of you.
J-Hap. Two starts next week at Colorado.
So many strikeouts.
At Colorado and at the Cubs for J-Hap.
Send him.
What were those matchups again?
At Colorado and at the Cubs.
Okay. At Colorado automatically ruins him.
So many strikeouts. It's crazy how many strikeouts he's getting.
Yeah, three straight games with eight or more for Hap. And Chris Bedlin heads Detroit this weekend.
The Royals are the only team to have a starting pitcher go six innings with no earned runs and no strikeouts. They've had two different pitchers do it this season.
Who was the first, Chris Young?
No, I believe it was, I want to say it was Volquez, but I'm not, or no, it was, Duffy. Oh, okay. Duffy did it in the start earlier in the season.
All right. And any interest in Yolish Chacin? He's 5% owned. Pretty good.
Nah.
He's got two starts at the Dodgers and at San Diego next week.
I started him in my 24 team league playoff this week. So there's that.
Yeah, he did fine.
That's about all I can say for him.
And Brandon Gomes got a save for the Rays. I think it was just resting this bad Boxberger.
Did you call him bad Boxberger?
Yeah.
I think he's good Boxberger.
I didn't even realize that his first name is Brad, and I called him bad. That's what we used to do to Bad Miller. all right, emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Here's an email from Scott. No, first from Nick. From Nick. Dear corn oil, and salt.
Yes. The three ingredients in the original flavor of corn nuts.
The worst snack.
The worst. Oh. Should I be dropping Ian Desmond for Seager, Lindor, or Jerko? Also, Al has Seager ranked 5th, and Scott has him 25th. Why such a difference?
Well, okay. Honest answer. I've been slacking on my rankings this month because I've been doing a lot more football content. So
why don't we rank them?
Al's ahead of me there.
Why don't we rank them on the podcast? Okay.
Yeah, I'll try to get those updated by the end of the week because I'm off next week, so it's not going to be happening then. I know.
All week.
Whoa. The whole darn week.
No Scott White.
You're going to get a lot of Chris Towers.
You going away?
Sorry, guys.
Going away. I'll be back. It's just 1 week.
So let's see. 25th. Who are the guys in front of Corey Seager? You tell me if you're putting him ahead. Addison Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Javier Baez.
You might need to jump a lot
higher. We'll get there.
Okay.
Addison Russell. Yeah. Javier Baez.
Yeah.
Marcus Semien.
Yeah.
Wilmer Flores.
Yeah.
Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah.
Elvis Andrews.
Yeah.
Yunel Escobar.
Yeah.
You got to move Suarez up.
Gene Segura.
Yes. Yeah.
Ketel Marte.
Yeah.
Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yes.
Cesar Hernandez.
Yep.
Yeah, he needs to be out. He's out for the year.
Jed Lowry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Francisco Lindor.
No, but he needs to move up.
Well, I'm going to say yes. He does. And those are two of the three choices, Seager, Lindor, and Jerko. It'd be between Lindor and Seager. We can keep moving him up if you...
Alcides Escobar.
Yes.
Ian Desmond.
Yes.
Xander Bogaerts.
No.
Johnny Peralta.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, we'll move Peralta down. Jung Ho Kang.
No.
Brandon Crawford.
Yeah.
Well, since he's banged up, I have to say yeah, but all things being equal, no.
Reyes.
Well,
yeah, he's
hurt
too.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Is he back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Zobrist.
No.
Hanley.
Of course.
Time to get Hanley down from number three. All right, so we're talking like a top eight shortstop here.
Yeah.
All right.
I honestly can't pick between Lindor or Seager.
You can do it.
I don't think I can.
Trust you.
I think I would go Lindor just because he's got the longer track record.
The reason I might go Lindor is because we still have Don Mattingly saying when Jimmy Rollins returns, he's going to play shortstop. I don't know if that's really true. Seager's in, Seager's must start, I think.
Yeah, he's been really good. All right, from Scott. Now it's from Scott. I need to drop one in a 14-team keeper league. I'm in second place, so I need next year's value as well as the rest of this year taken into account. 14-team keeper league. Do I drop Javier Baez? I have Ian Desmond and Corey Seager. Or do I drop Billy Burns? I have D. Gordon for steals, so that's not a problem.
Drop Billy Burns.
Yeah.
Okay, he's activating Corey Dickerson for Billy Burns. DFS? Excuse me, DFS? Anyone? Bueller?
Yeah, let's do it.
David Price would be my guy tonight at Atlanta. He is the third most expensive pitcher behind Arrieta and Archer. All right, it's tied with Archer. Basically the same price.
Anytime you can get a pitcher against the Braves. Sorry, yeah. Scott.
Burley pitched well against the Braves.
I don't play for him.
They've been historically bad over the last month and a half or so. So, yeah, it's hard to go against David Price even at 12,000. Him, Arrieta, and Archer are all pretty much the same price, and Dallas Keuchel's right there. And then there's a big drop-off. But I don't know if I want any of the guys on that next tier. Iwakuma, you said he's got really good numbers against the Angels.
Yeah, I don't want him in FanDuel.
But Gio Gonzalez, Danny Salazar against the Royals, Jaime Garcia against the Brewers. I think this is a night where you have to pay up for pitching unless you want to go with Luis Severino.
Against the Rays, against that's a good point. Yeah.
That would be the one guy I think is worth going down for. Other than that, I think you got to go with one of the big starting pitchers.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the best way to word.
Look, I've had a long day.
It's okay.
I've only had one Diet Coke.
Was so funny.
I'm having
Scott,
trouble.
Scott had this look at us like, oh, God.
Yeah, I just cut Scott out.
I'm not usually like that.
Look,
either.
I was just gonna let it go. You guys are the ones with the.
I was gonna let it go, but Scott gave me an avenue to bring it up. I like. I mean, like Jose Abreu, it looks good against Oakland. They are starting Chris Martin, and who's going against who's pitching for the Pirates tonight?
No, Chris Martin. So you're gonna go with more than a yellow light for White Sox hitters.
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
Uh-uh.
You don't get it, Scott. You don't get it.
No.
No.
Tell me, without being perverted.
Look. The song "Yellow" by the band Coldplay.
Oh, okay. It's a great song.
The band Coldplay.
It's a great song.
It's a fine song.
There are some first basemen that I like.
Good.
They're all in the same range. They are Goldschmidt, Rizzo, and Abreu, and they're all within $200 of each other. With Burnett pitching tonight, boy, he looked like total garbage in the first inning of his last outing. I don't know how he managed to pitch well after that. I don't know. I might go Rizzo, or it's tough. But they're
okay
all in the same
out. Stacking right-handed Orioles against Henry Owens or right-handed Mets?
I think Owens has actually been better against righties. Do you know this, or are you just guessing because he's a lefty?
I'm just guessing because he's a lefty and he just hasn't been particularly good. It's possible that he has reverse splits.
You know, I don't really think he's been that good against either.
I think that might be a case where he's just been bad against everybody.
Henry Owens, lefties have an OPS over 1,000 and righties have a 744 OPS. So maybe get some left-handed Orioles in there.
I think get some Orioles in there is an okay thing to say.
Yeah, hard to trust that split yet.
Yeah, it's such a small sample size.
There are going to be no shortage of hitter possibilities.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad pitchers
tonight. White Sox against Cody Martin. Obviously, Jose Abreu has been hot if you want to add to that first base list. Melky Cabrera has actually been hitting well again, too.
Mm-hmm. 2,900.
Your Nationals against Alec Asher.
Whew.
Whoever the heck that is.
Yeah, we are at that time of the season.
Yeah.
Where the Alec Ashers of the world.
Red Sox against Mike Wright.
Yeah.
He's pitching for the Giants.
Sounds like a cause.
Jake Peavy. is pitching for the San Francisco Giants tonight.
I don't mind a flyer on Jay Bruce. It's at 2,600.
Mm-hmm.
So looking to save some moolah here. Corey Dickerson, they got a who's pitching for the Dodgers?
For the Dodgers, the correct answer is Brett Anderson.
Okay, so
no,
don't
he just
start.
Pitched. He just pitched. Sorry, it's not.
Oh,
Brett
it's
Anderson.
Alex Wood. I knew it was an
Alex
lefty.
Wood.
Yeah, you don't
go.
Want to go with you don't want to go with Dickerson.
No,
but I like Angel Pagan. Angel Pagan at 2,700. That was a guy I wanted to target. So Nolan Reimold is interesting.
He's been playing well.
Yeah, and Ender Inciarte as well. 2,800. All right, so you got some really good outfielders. I'm going to get Melky out of my lineup. I'm going to go with a Inciarte, Reimold, Pagan outfield. And I think we can work with that. And Gerardo Parra is in that same price range too. So, all right, go with David Price, I'd say.
Yeah, and then find plenty of cheap pitching hitting options out there because there are a lot of sub $7,000 and even a lot of sub $6,000 pitchers tonight. There are seven pitchers below $6,000 tonight, including three at $5,000 or less. There's going to be a lot. There should be a lot of offense tonight.
Good stuff. Chris Towers and Scott White, thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
Adios, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday.